according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Lord, you Lord.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him, saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, Christ.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I've been thinking about this Old Testament lesson about Jacob. Because this short little story only tells a glimpse of the bigger Jacob picture. And by all means, if you've forgotten why Moses kept saying, I come in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, every time he approached someone, go back and read Genesis. Because Genesis leaves us the foundation for all the storytelling that comes. But let me refresh your memory about Jacob. You see, Jacob was a smooth operator, like since birth. Jacob is the one who stole his older brother's birthright. Now, that's a big deal, to get the father's blessing, to get the firstborn's blessing. We can't even imagine what that means today. But their father was on his deathbed. And you know the rest of that story, or we'll read it, I'm not going to tell it now. But Jacob stole it. So Jacob, when we hear the words Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's a false pretense. It should have always been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Okay? So these boys do not like each other. And Esau is threatening to kill Jacob. And this is where today's story starts. Esau gets word to Jacob and says, hey, bro, let's meet up. What would you be thinking? Oh, and by the way, Esau's coming with 400 men. Yeah. So here we start today's lesson, where Jacob sends his two wives and the two other women he's been having children with across the river ahead. He wants to keep them out of danger. And he sends all the cattle, the rest of the livestock, and all their possessions ahead with them. And Jacob is at this place alone. He knows he screwed up. And he doesn't know what's next. But he's pretty sure his brother wants to kill him still. sent the women and kids ahead. And we won't even talk about how the 12 tribes of Israel and their sisters came from four different mothers. There are no saints in the book of Genesis. Well, maybe no. But it's messed up. And so this being comes along. In different versions of the Bible, it will say a man, or maybe it was an angel. And in the end, Jacob calls the God. I've served with God. But they wrestle all night long. And you'd think if you're wrestling with an angel, the angel would probably win. We don't know what the story was behind this, but they wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. And finally, I think because the angel was only charged with wrestling until dawn, they kind of called it a truce, but the angel gave him one last kick, made him limp. Yeah, you know the rest of that story. Why? Jacob said, give me your name, tell me your name, because there was a lot of power in the name. And the angel would not tell him the name, but said, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to rename you. From here on in, you are not Jacob. You are Israel. The past is gone. Jacob's past no longer matters. Because now Jacob truly is heir to the promise. Remember when God took old Abraham outside and showed him up at the stars and said, hey, take a look at all those. You're going to have descendants more numerous than those stars. And Abraham and Sarah had one baby. And I'm only guessing they died. They felt a little gypped. You know, descendants like the stars. We had one. And we waited until we were in our 90s. But God made up for the promise with Jacob, because Jacob had lots of kids. A big start. Your name shall be Israel. You have a new name. And that matters. You see, if you look at Psalm 121, this is a sampling of all of Scripture, all of the Old Testament. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. In the Old Testament, and through some of the New, when you hear the word Israel, you should be hearing, oh, that's Jacob's brood. Those are the folks that got the promise. That was someone who was renamed with a new purpose. It's not a state of the Middle East. Okay? This is really important. In the Old Testament, this is not a geopolitical thing, not in Genesis. This is Jacob being able to turn over a new leaf with the promise, all the promises of God behind him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this matters. This persistent struggle that he had with this angel that night matters. In how he came about to be a new person. Do you know that if there's no tension, there's no growth? I know a lot of you have done physical therapy, right? The same it is with our spirits. If we don't wrestle with our spirits, we also become lifeless, unable to do what God has in mind for us to do. Over these last weeks, we've been talking about 6 faith practices. And I haven't preached on them, I just kind of put them out there for us. But these 6 faith practices are things that we invite you to invite each other to wrestle with. Have you wrestled with God in prayer? Sometimes it is in those darkest moments, those middle of the night, anguish of grief type things, where we discover God's presence. But if we don't try, if we don't pray at all and expect God to respond, what are we expecting God to respond to? The same with study. Have you dug into the Bible lately? And have you wrestled with it? Because to read the Bible, to study the Bible, is to be challenged by none other than God. It's a living word. And if we don't wrestle with it, we can't see what it has to offer us. If we only listen second or third hand to what other people say about the Bible, we will miss what the Bible has to say to us. We will miss the struggle. You know, some of it's not glamorous. But once in a while, reading the prophets gives us a different insight into God. Reading the Gospels gives us a totally new insight into the character of Jesus and what is expected of us in terms of our neighbor. Worship. Do you wrestle with worship? Or do you wrestle with your alarm clock? Oh, Lord, is that time already? It's not untrue. This pastor's not a morning person. But what about thinking of it in terms of, I get to go worship God with my brothers and sisters in Christ every Sunday. I get to. Because we have the freedom to worship God without fear. We have that. And we take that for granted. Which leads to invite. That's a spiritual practice that Lutherans didn't even have on their radar until I think the last couple decades. Someone once said that evangelism for most mainline Protestants meant having babies. And you bring babies to church and you've done your job. Invite. Have you seen the joy of being touched by God? You've seen it in other people. Have you experienced it yourself? I did yesterday, and I'm still clearing my throat from all the dust. But when our crew of worker bees came in and cleaned these pews, it was a joy. And I don't know how that works, because I hate cleaning. Okay? But when we do it together, and we're doing it in the house of the Lord, and we know it's to the glory of God in the end, it's a joy. And I know I'm always bragging on the singers, but they get here by like 8:15 in the morning, and they practice. to make their sounds come together, to make their harmonies more sweet, more pure. It's to the glory of God. It's not to get up early and be praised by me, but it's because something inside them stirs them towards service. That's how everything else happens around here. And we serve and we give. We pray, study, worship, pray, serve, give. These are faith disciplines. Not to earn God's grace and favor, but because God's grace and favor are a free gift and we are grateful. Somebody else got hit by the dust. We are grateful. And so Jacob's name was changed. He became a new person. In the waters of baptism, your name was changed. Your name became Christian, child of God, precious and beloved and forgiven and graced. You are a new creation in Christ. Luther reminds us, you know, as we shower in the morning, remember, I am baptized. When you wash your hands, remember, you are cleaned in the blood of the Lamb. You are one in Jesus Christ. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have been named by God. And nobody can take that away from you. So whatever your struggles might be, or maybe you're not feeling struggles, maybe you've got it pretty good, but you know other people who have struggles. Lots of them. You can be the hands and feet and voice of God speaking into that that no one need do this alone. Named and chosen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in that grace.